Tonight's lesson is certainly for all of us, but it's kind of directed, at least to some degree, to our younger people, as well as some of the words I'll be saying in the fellowship hall later on when we have our graduation celebration. What I want to focus on for a short while is the promises of God. And hopefully it will help all of us realize how the Bible is filled with promises that are directed to His people. And these promises are for His people. So many of the promises in the Bible are only for the children of God. People outside that wonderful family do not enjoy those like we do. As an introduction tonight, I'd like for us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 as we're introduced to the topic of these wonderful promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 2, Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Notice what he says there as we begin. He says, His divine power has given to us everything we need. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it comes through the knowledge of Christ. All of those come through the knowledge of Christ. And he says, it is through Him that we've been given. And it's so it says given to us. And it's written to Christians. These promises are given to Christians. And he describes them in two ways. Exceedingly great and precious, far beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. And he says, it is by these promises that we actually get to partake of the divine nature. So, looking at some of these promises then, supply us or give us the route, the method, the way, the means to partake of the divine nature. And so, when we have the opportunity, we can go to God's Word whenever and find these great and precious promises. And so for the next few minutes, I'd like to examine just a few of those. Just a few of them. Most of them are going to come from the Old Testament. But certainly the idea and the principle will be carried over into the new. The first thing we need to see is that the righteous, God's people, the family of God, are indeed blessed in ways that others are not. In Psalm 5, we are given some wonderful verses in verses 11 and 12. Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12. Here's what the psalmist says. Psalm 5, verses 11 through 12. He says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." The righteous, the people of God, those who love His name, are surrounded with favor. The people in the world aren't. They're not surrounded with favor. God's people have a special blessing, a special promise in that God surrounds them, envelops them with favor. And who would we want favor to come from more than Jehovah? So because of who we are, because that we're in the family of God, we are the righteous, the children of God in the family of God, we're surrounded with favor. And what an amazing blessing that is. reserved for, though, the righteous and the righteous only. Another favor, another blessing, another promise is found in Psalm 27. And many of these, of course, will come from the Psalms. And we're just barely touching the hem of the garment of some of the promises that were given, promises that can bring us joy and comfort and peace at different times. In Psalm 27, the psalmist writes in verses 4 and 5, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." So young people, those graduating from high school, those in college, those just getting out of college, we have a great, great blessing there. First of all, tell Jehovah what your desire is. Tell Jehovah what your desire is. It's important to verbalize what it is you want to take to God. And the idea that He is there, that you can dwell in His house, is of great importance. There's a secret place that we can go to for those who are falsely accused. In Psalm 31, this is considered to be one of David's Psalms. In verse 17, he says, "Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence which speak insolent things, proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, and the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." What a promise. And know that it's a promise that he says in those verses. It is a promise. Says we have a secret place to go to for those who have been falsely accused, for those who are escaping from the strife of tongues, from the plots of man. We have a secret place to go to. It's God's place. It's God's eternal dwelling place, the same place that the psalmist mentions in Psalm 90 when he says in verses 1 and 2, he says this, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So we have a place to go. We can go to God's dwelling place, a place of safety. In other words, God's people have access to this place. We have a way to go, this secret place of God. We tell Jehovah what our desire is. We tell Him of our needs. We tell Him of our wants, and we can go to Him regardless. And it's place, and this is a place that is lovely. In Psalm 84, the psalmist begins in verse 1, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." He says it is a place that is lovely. How lovely is your tabernacle? God promises us that He will be our refuge. We can always go to Him when we need help. In other words, He's always there. In Psalm 46, the psalmist says in verse 1, he says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God's in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Refuge, and there's absolutely no one like him. In other words, we can trust him. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us. He's always going to be there. And that's a promise because there's no one like Jehovah. There's no one like him. So when we think about, you know, our family and our friends and all of those, there is no one like him that can be trusted. He is the most trustworthy. Never lets us down, never leaves. He's always there. The Bible says he never sleeps or slumbers. Whenever we need him, we can go to him. And I think it's very important for people who are getting ready for college, who are in college, to know that we can always go to him. And there's no need to ever fear. In Genesis chapter 15, Moses leaves us some words there. Genesis 15. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." What's the purpose of a shield? Well, we know what a shield is. It's a defense. It's something we wear to ward off things that are sent to us. So he is a shield, but he's also said to be a sword, and it's something that we're to thank the Lord for. It's something we're to thank the Lord for because we have a shield. People in the world don't have a shield. It's only reserved for God's people. What we're to do is make sure we thank God for it. Because in Psalm 28, beginning in verse 7, the psalmist says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." That's what he wants for us. So there's no need to fear when we go out into the world, whenever we go wherever, there's no need to fear because he is there. The Bible says he is our Savior. He's our stronghold. He's the one we can hold on to. In Psalm 46, the psalmist says, beginning in verse 2, "Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." The one we read just a moment ago. We shall not fear. Why? Because he's our stronghold. He's our refuge. He's our rock. That's what he is for us. He is our rock. He makes so many promises to us about living right. And now I want to talk about, kind of on the back of that, those of you who are getting ready to go into college, those who are in college right now, this is simply called the ABCs for college students. And it certainly is for everyone, but it certainly is very, very important to people who are in college. The ABCs. A, attitude. Some of you are going into colleges that are certainly not friendly to Christianity. Most institutions of higher learning are not friendly to Christianity. What's wonderful, though, is many universities, many colleges do have groups, Christian groups that are there to help in a number of ways. One of them I was actually looking at this afternoon was Michigan State University, an enormous school, just tens of thousands of students, but they have a Christian group there that is very active. And one of the things that stressed was attitude. And there were three things there about attitude that were stressed. Eager to serve, eager to commit, to make a commitment, and eager to learn. That's one of the things the group stressed. They wanted Christians, especially in college, to have that attitude, that they were eager to learn, eager to serve, eager to make a commitment. It's so easy to go to college, especially if you move away from college, and leave those things behind. Be so overwhelmed with the college atmosphere and environment that the important things of life, your Christian walk, your Christian service, and so forth, are left behind. And many, many, many Christians leave the faith during their college years. And that's just a fact. That's not an opinion. That's not anything else. It's just a fact. Many, many Christians leave their Christianity forever. And they never go back. So, attitude. Eager to serve, eager to commit, and eager to learn. The B stands for basics. Basic. What are some of the basics of the Christian faith that you need to know, you need to enhance, you need to apply? Things like understanding the importance of prayer. Don't forget prayer when you go to college. Understand the importance of spending time every day in God's Word. If you want strength, if you want help, if you want knowledge, that's where it's found, is in reading the Bible daily. That's a basic of Christian life. Be able, because you will meet many, many different types of people. Be able to explain to them the plan of salvation. Be able to explain to them the plan of salvation, how one becomes a child of God, and why it's so important. Be familiar with the entire storyline of Scripture. And by that I simply mean, be familiar enough so that when you are with people, when you're with others of that age group, you're able to explain to them the basic story from Genesis to Revelation. The different periods. Why we call the patriarchal period the patriarchal period. What was significant about the law of Moses in the Mosaical period. And why do we call this age we're in the Christian age? Be able to explain that to other people and why it's important. One of those basics. And then finally, and certainly just as important, if not more so, is church. That's what the C stands for, church. Understand the importance of finding a faithful congregation and being a part of it. Being a part of it. I know in the past, and I've seen it, and probably many of you have too, people that, young people, 18 or sometimes even younger, that go off to college, maybe sometimes far away. And the one thing that makes all the difference in them being faithful or not is finding just that right congregation to worship with. Finding it, becoming a part of it, being a member of it. And I know very, very well from our experience that Denise and I were extremely lucky to find a wonderful congregation when we went off to college. And it made an incredible impact. So don't forget how important that is to do. Find one where God's Word is both taught and practiced. Where God's word is taught and practiced. Those ABCs will take you so far in helping you be faithful during those critical college years. And when I talk about critical, I'm talking about that is the prime age. That's the prime age, 18 to 25. That's the prime age when many, many young people leave their faith, is 18 to 25. And if we keep those, if you keep those ABCs, then it's very unlikely you'll become one of those statistics of those who leave the faith. Attitude, the basics, and church. And how important those are to us. Remember God's promises. Remember all those promises from the Old Testament. Remember the promises from the New. And think about those ABCs for college students. You are entering, if you're not already there, one of the most exciting times of your life, but one of the most dangerous times of your life as well. Excitement and danger often go hand in hand. And they certainly do nowadays like they always have. David will be leading us in an invitation song, one that has as its purpose to help us think about whether we need to respond to that great gospel invitation, because God's mercy is extended. It's like Jesus is standing before you, offering his hand, extending mercy to you, and giving you the opportunity to make things right. And if you need to do that tonight, we encourage you as we stand and sing this song.